You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, try to picture this if you can. Picture a very elderly person. He has fallen down, and he has no ability to be able to get up. So in that case, he requires outside intervention. Somebody must come and physically pick him up. Well, the same is true, or at least similar is true for us in a spiritual sense. We have done more than fallen. We have dropped dead spiritually because of sin. But what has God done, though? God our Father has taken action to pick us up, in other words, to make us spiritually alive through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we return to the Gospel of John. We find ourselves in chapter 17. So at this part in the Bible, Jesus is still in the upper room with his disciples. The feet have been washed. The Passover meal has been eaten, and Jesus has told his disciples many important things. After chapter 17, as recorded early in chapter 18, that is when Jesus will then leave the upper room with his disciples and head for the Garden of Gethsemane. But just before he leaves, though, he prays a very important prayer. That is our focus for today. Going to verse 1 of John chapter 17, it says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him.'" So it said, when Jesus had spoken these words. What words are being spoken of here? It's hard to tell for certain, but it very well could be the words that he spoke as recorded in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. So in chapter 13, he gave them some bad news. In chapter 14, he had some words of encouragement. In chapter 15, he talked a lot about the close relationship between himself and those who trust in him. And then in chapter 16, he talked a lot about the Holy Spirit. And then he mentioned about a particular hour. What hour is being spoken of here? Well, we don't believe it's talking about necessarily a 60-minute kind of an hour, but it's talking about a particular period of time, and most likely it's a reference to Jesus' upcoming death. Keep in mind, we are on Good Friday, as this reading takes place, and Jesus will lay down his life within hours. And then Jesus prayed, "Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." What was Jesus really saying there, asking the Father to glorify him? Let's go to a quote by Lenski to help us out a little bit here. He wrote, "The Father is to exalt Jesus by investing his human nature with the unlimited use of the divine attributes in the glory of heaven." Why is he asking for that? Lenski goes on, "So the Son may make the glorious attributes of the Father shine out in all the world through the work of the Holy Spirit in the gospel and in the church." Thinking about Jesus' divine nature, he has all power. Thinking about his human nature, he doesn't yet, so he's asking the Father, "Father, give me the same with my human nature, so that way we can work together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in order to be a great blessing to all the people on earth." That's what he's praying. And then in verse 3, we come to what we might call the essence of eternal life. Notice what Jesus prayed. "And this is eternal life, that they," in other words, my followers, "may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So thinking about the essence of eternal life, let us know that being saved is not on the basis of what we do, but it's on the basis of who we know. Have you ever thought about a job situation in the same way? You're looking for a job, and you have certain abilities, but that doesn't guarantee you a job. Oftentimes, how you get a job is not what you're able to do, but rather it is who you know. It shouldn't be that way, but oftentimes it is. Well, when it comes to getting into heaven, it's not anything about what we have done, but it's all about whether or not we are in a relationship with God the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what is the problem? The problem is that all of us took wrongful action. We fell into sin, and we destroyed our relationship with God. So what did God do? God had to take action then in order to build a bridge to us in the person of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen that picture where it shows a great chasm and then God on one side, us on the other side, and then there's a bridge that's been made across the chasm, and the bridge is in the shape of a cross? It's a very nice picture helping us see how there is great separation, but God has taken action, God has sent his Son, and the cross of Christ is what makes the bridge. What else did God do then? Not only did he send Christ, and he did all of that work, but then, in holy baptism, God was at work to clothe us with Christ and make us holy in his sight. So what is true now about us through Jesus Christ? By God's grace, we are in relationship with the Father and the Son. By God's grace, we have the gift of eternal life. By God's grace, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. By God's grace, we are richly blessed. God wants us to know that is true. And then going on to verses 4 and 5, we see that though we have fallen short, Jesus Christ has not. Jesus continued to pray, "I glorified you, Father, on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." So we all know the passage there in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Is that true? Has everyone fallen short of the glory of God? What does that even mean? The glory of God is that we would perfectly do the will of God. So yes, we've all fallen short of that. None of us can do it perfectly. Well, all of us except our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does tell us in Hebrews that he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. So he did not fall, but all of us did. So the first Adam, he represented all of us. He fell, so God sends his Son as the second Adam. And what does he do? He perfectly accomplishes all that the Father required of him. And think about this too. What the Father required of the Son was extremely difficult, but yet he did it all. He did it perfectly. And then you might have noticed there in the reading that Jesus again said, "Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." Oftentimes when people think about Jesus, they're only going back about 2,000 years ago to his birth. But let's remember, he's always been the Son of God with the Father even before the creation of the world. So Jesus here is praying, saying, "Father, I had that glory with you way back when, so again I'm asking you to bless my human nature so that I can be back with you again, so both according to my divine nature, according to my human nature, I can have the full glory back with you just like I did a long time ago." That is his request. And then going on to verse 6 and following, we see Jesus identify some important things about his disciples. So we are disciples, yes. So let's see if we fit into the description we have here. Jesus prayed, "I have manifested," in other words, "I have made known your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and they have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me." So think about what Jesus prayed there. He's acknowledging that certain ones the Father gave to him. If we take a look at a passage in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us that God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be his very own. That's one of those passages on the topic of predestination. So it's the Father who did the choosing, and then he gave such people to Jesus. Who are such people? They are the ones who, by God's power, they keep the Word of God. So what does that mean to keep the Word of God? Well, it could mean a lot of things, but it at least means that when we hear the Word of God, we do not twist it to make it say what we want it to say. We do not reject it, but by God's grace, we believe it to be true. Let's also know that the disciples were different. See, in Jesus' day, we have a lot of places in the New Testament where we have basically people saying, "Hey, we know about Moses, we know about God the Father, we don't know about you, Jesus." So they think it's okay that they can reject Jesus and embrace the other two, but yet that's not what it means to be a Christian, to be a disciple. Those who are disciples, they know the Father, and they also know his Son. So how were the disciples different? By God's grace, their eyes had been opened to see that there truly is a close relationship between God the Father and between our Lord Jesus Christ. And then coming to verse 9 and following, we see that Jesus prayed for his disciples. He was concerned about them. He cared about them. He knew he would be departing from them soon, so he prayed for them. Notice what he prayed. "I am praying for them, Father. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." So Jesus really did care about his disciples. They were chosen by God the Father. They were given to him, so they belong to both of them. What about us? We also belong to both the Father and to the Son. And then Jesus said, "I am glorified in my disciples." What does that mean? I'm glorified in my disciples. Well, Jesus' disciples honored him as the Messiah. They believed that he was the promised one sent by the Father to take away the sin of the world. When Jesus showed up, unfortunately, many rejected him, but by God's grace, those disciples, they were able to see that he is the one, and by God's grace, they embraced him. What about us? By God's work in our lives, God has worked through holy baptism to clothe us in Christ. God has worked through his word to show us who Jesus is. So we believe the same things. We are blessed to know such things are true. And then finally here at the end, Jesus would soon die. On the third day he would rise. 40 days later he would ascend. So he asked the Father to keep his disciples in the Father's name that they may be one. So it's important that we know Jesus Christ. It's also very important that we continue in Jesus Christ. And yet neither one is our work, Both are the work of God. Lenski put it this way. He noted that the world is full of delusion and spurns God's name, so the disciples needed divine care lest they lose their connection with the saving name. Do we have many enemies in the world that want to spiritually destroy us? By all means, we do. So as they needed God's powerful intervention in their lives, so we also need God's powerful intervention in our lives too. How does God primarily work? God primarily works through his word and also through the sacraments. So God is saying, don't refuse them, but receive often so that God can work in our lives. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we are so blessed to know you and your Son and to have the Holy Spirit living within us. We pray that you would powerfully work through word and sacrament to keep us in your name, to keep us in your holy family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.